Instructional Designers in Offices Drinking Coffee is brought to you by Domino, makers of Domino One, the all-in-one cloud-based e-learning authoring tool for teams. You can learn more at domino.com. That's DOMINKNOW.com. Now, here's this week's episode.
Hold on, we got a show to do. Hold on.
Oh, right. Oh, we got caught up in the moment.
Good times, everybody. Welcome to Idiotic on a Wednesday. How the heck is everybody doing?
Doing awesome. Carpe danceum, I think. This is the moment to dance.
Love the weather. Reports coming in from all over the globe.
Yep. Those of us here in Canada might be feeling a little more optimistic. Things seem to be melting here, so that's fun. We have a kind of a rule of thumb. If it's March and it's 10 degrees, that's shorts and patio weather. If it's March and October, it's time to get the parkas back out.
Well, it's good to know when it's time to change your clothes. That's what I always say.
You still wear shorts. You just take the parka off in the spring and put it back on.
It's the shedding of the layers. Yes, we always love that. Dang, woo, hey.
Yes, some countries have the running of the bulls. In Canada, we have the shedding of the layers.
The shedding of the layers. I'm learning.
If you go to the Canada Tourism website, it's right there. It's the number three attraction. People come every year to Ottawa for the shedding of the layers.
It's got Chris's address right there. Everybody, come on, but drive by and don't pet the animals.
Well, and it's not a very big population. So, you know, when you land here, just ask where Chris's place is for the shedding of the layers. And everybody knows everybody. So, you know, it's not a big country that way.
No, it's not. But you know what? Hey, I'm trying to work a segue in here, but it's just totally not happening. Chris, who's our guest this morning?
I know. See, the problem is we started the fun in the green room and we never forgot to switch it off. Folks, we have Gene Backer with us here. Gene was with us a little while ago, maybe last spring, wasn't it? At any rate, Gene, welcome back. And for those of us, those of folks in the, look at that. Look, Gene, you've got all the toys going on there. Yeah. Gene, for those folks in the chat, et cetera, that are joining us today who didn't catch you last time around, just introduce yourself and tell the folks a little bit about yourself to get us started here.
All right. Hello, everybody from Amsterdam. I'm very, very honored to be here again. I was here before, so I now have the official mug. So try get on the show because you need the mug in your life. I have my background in psychology and the science of education. And I work all around the world designing fantastic learning opportunities, learning journeys, measuring results, and trying to put in gamification and make sure that there is no more boring learning in the world. That's the mission.
Yeah. Very cool.
So that's me. Yeah.
Very cool. Go ahead, Gene.
Did you know that it's the Brain Awareness Week?
Oh.
Oh, perfect. We timed this great. I forgot to mention that I planned it this way. And so welcome back during Brand Awareness Week, Gene.
What does it mean?
I mean, Brain Awareness Week.
What does it mean that I was not aware that it's Brain Awareness Week?
This is probably not meaning anything good. So let's not get into that. But what we always do every year is that we find a focus point of our participants or of learning. And this year we focused on having a participant who has Tourette syndrome in your training and how to be as inclusive as possible to accommodate them as well. So we've done some podcasts around that, and we are donating all of our week's revenue to the Tourette Foundation. So I just wanted to mention it here because we all sometimes have people with Tourette in our trainings, and we can take better care of them.
For sure. All of the sorts of the range of things we tend to have. What comes to mind often when we talk about accessibility is a certain, you know, set of obvious things sometimes, but it's so critical to be aware of the sheer breadth of different experiences that people have as part of our groups, etc. We are talking today, though, sort of picking up on our previous conversation about storytelling, you know, gamification, and measuring all of these sorts of things, because, you know, gamification, that's been a buzzword for, you know, I don't know what, 5, 7, 8, maybe a decade now, you know, when you go to conferences and that sort of a thing. So maybe let's rehash there, starting there, maybe what do you define as gamification, and what does it mean for you, you know, as a tool to use?
Well, I know that people, when they go to school, we all get a little bit bored with learning. We start to hate it. Then we go work somewhere. We get the compliance e-learnings that we have to click through, and we start to hate e-learning. And by the time people are 20, 24, they associate learning with a very formal way of learning. And usually they don't associate that with fun and happiness and joy and growing and nice things. But when you do say, let's play, let's invent, let's be curious, most people are going like, I haven't done that for a while. Is this serious, though? But then when they get into it, they, you know, the excitement grows, they have more fun, and they associate that with something completely different than boring learning. So that's why I got into it. Yeah.
Maybe what we really need is some training and some workshops on how to be fun again and how to enjoy yourself again. And maybe we do have to learn how to have fun and to incorporate games and gamifications into our life. You know, I was going to ask you, Gene, you did a great a review or a rewind for us in the green room. But maybe for everybody else, maybe just give us a quick 30-second Reader's Digest version of what we talked about last week. And then let's roll right into it.
All right. Yeah. So last time we talked about how I used playing Pokemon Go to find some things that Pokemon Go has actually done to not only engage people in a game, but also to produce measurable results, because the world lost, I read somewhere about £1 million together because of the sheer walking that everybody did during that time. So they created fantastic measurable results. People got healthier, but they also engaged a lot of people in playing, addicting them as well. But I played that game to see what are the things that we as learning educators, learning experts can learn from how they gamify their app. And that's what we talked about a long time. We also talked about how to engage managers and how to use gamification for that. And I got a lot of you know, requests and messages sent about that part, because we talked about that, and it was quite interesting for them as well. Yeah.
Awesome.
And one thing we don't have happening, I need to point it out, is there are no alarms going off in today's session. So far. Because there was a hotel alarm going off like every two minute intervals or something as we had last our last time together.
Gosh. And we worked really hard to gamify that.
Yeah. Drink.
You did. You were awesome about it. Because I was stuck there having a COVID test, couldn't travel, needed to be in that hotel, and at that moment they started to do the alarm thing.
That was fun though. Yeah. So sooner or later we'll finish that game and actually make it a reality. But you know, it could be worse. So which one of those elements should we kick off on today? So we've got the gamification in the Pokemon story. We've got measuring. We've got including managers into it, the games and having fun. Where do you want to start, Gene?
I wanted to start with the World Championship of football in my part of the world, soccer in your part of the world. I would love to talk a little bit about that because actually where they're holding that in November and December this year, they're going to be hosting for 2 million people. And it's a tiny country where it's being held this time. And they need 60,000 people to come into their country to work in hospitality to take care of all those guests. And I was asked, and I'd just like to, you know, throw it out there for everybody who's in the learning field, to create a pre-boarding for people once they've been hired from whatever country they come from to fly into the World Championship and to do a pre-boarding for them that was actually fun and engaging and not boring for 60,000 people. So I thought I'd like to take that a little bit as a case to say, to see how I was working on that. Maybe people have ideas about that. So I would like to start there.
Yeah, let's do it. Jump in. Is this where I focus you on the screen and you show a slide, or should I hold off on
no,
that?
No, this
yet?
Is okay to just talk like this. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we like can do it. Yep,
the other
absolutely.
Way. I'll switch back. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So they called us, said we need to have people fly in from all over the world to work in our country for 4 months during the World Championship. We need to pre-board them. Once they get here, we need to onboard them. It's going to be a very different culture, different temperatures. It's going to be very strange for many people to be in this country. And they asked us to write a pre-boarding that they could do still at home before they would travel to, they're going to travel to the World Championship. And they wanted to gamify it and make it be fun and engaging, like people when they are doing the e-learning, that they feel like, I'm ready to travel. I want to go. Let's do this. So we first had a lot of proposals of materials that they wanted to include into it, which were very necessary to know, but quite boring. So we really, you know, struggled with how can we make this fun and engaging, etc. And of course, we found that football is actually a game or soccer. We decided to create a gamification where they could learn things about the country and the culture that they were going to visit, learn things about hospitality, but also how to make small talk with guests about soccer and football so that they would be engaging with them around that. So what we did was, instead of giving everybody a certain set of, you need to get these many points, you need to win, you need to do, what we gave them is, you already have all the points in the world. You already have everything succeeded. But if you fail, you could lose one of your badges. So it's about, you already have it. We know you're awesome, but it's about not losing badges. And then there's a leaderboard that is flipped around with whoever doesn't lose any of their badges. So that's a really fun way. And we're now testing it out. And people are so glad. I've already got the badges. Ooh, this is awesome. And there's a different thing that happens in their brain when they already have it. They're already trusted. And then it's about keeping the points. So we flipped that. And it's showing some remarkable results in the test groups now.
Neat. So instead of starting with nothing and having to achieve something, you're basically giving them positive reinforcement right off the bat. So there's that's a piece of what's playing in there. What other kinds of pieces of that are valuable or different then in starting with all the points versus starting with zero?
Yeah. So they can do extra things to reclaim badges that they have lost. And they can actually, and they've actually got, they can actually choose where they want to score their most points. Is it in the culture and the country? Is it in hospitality? Or are they more of a football maniac, soccer maniac? So they can actually choose which will be my focus point. So we allow them to be a little bit of the pilot of their own learning to make sure that they're engaged instead of, okay, I'm one of the 60,000. I'm just going to go through the program like everybody else. They get to steer in it a little bit.
That's awesome.
We also looked at, we have them, we're not sure that this can work actually, but we're working on that. We're looking at them when they come in. Of course, there are some countries that participate in the World Championship, some don't. So we want them to choose the country that they're most in favor of. Most of them seem to be choosing their own country, but okay. and we want them to choose a legend, a legendary football player, soccer player that they love. And of course, we put in a lot of them. And what we now do is if they fail or if they succeed, we have that football player pop up and tell them one of their famous quotes and say, well, actually, Pelé, who is a very famous football player, or Johan Cruyff, which is a very famous Dutch football player, actually encourages them with the quotes of that player to create more engagement and to more personalize their experience.
That is awesome.
Very cool. How much time do people need? Like, is this roughly an hour's worth of time or a couple of hours? Or what's like, just so we get a sense of the scope of it?
Sure, too. Yeah. So we've chopped them up in eight parts. And you can do one part if you go really quickly in a quarter of an hour. So you can actually choose how many times, you know, if you want to do 2 hours or you want to do eight quarter of an hour. So they can actually choose like that.
And so you mentioned you're in the pilot mode of this right now. When it gets done, do you have to be going to the game to play the game and working there? Or can anybody go to the website and say, like, I might like to work there. Maybe I should pre-train. I'd love to see it is basically where I'm going with this.
We haven't thought of that yet. So far, it's you first have to be hired and then you get into the pre-boarding. But if we succeed in making it as great and fun and engaging as we hope, they could actually flip that, right? They could say,
yeah,
if you're thinking about it, maybe try this out. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, good prep thinking. Yourself. I had my HR hat on right there, my recruiting hat.
No, I just had my curiosity hat on.
I'm like, well, that too, yeah.
Can we try? Can we try? Anyway.
Yeah, because I think we could all learn a lot from that. It's interesting. We love having you on, Gene, because so often I get messages from people saying, I can't do gaming. I can't do fun because it has a stigma and all that kind of stuff. So to, for us, for our industry as a whole, to be able to have champions like yourself that are doing this and doing it successfully, for us to be able to see these as examples of what can be done and the value that gets tied to those is really, really important. That's always why I ask.
Yeah, very good. And I think I love that you point out that dilemma of, the word game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something very serious here. I seriously want to produce results. Why should we introduce a game? So I think it all starts with when we work with our people that are ordering the learning from us, whether it's externally or internally. I think if we go back to what is it you want to accomplish, or what bad thing do you want to avoid by teaching people this or having people learn this? And I think most of the time when clients or internal clients, however you call them, come to us, they've already defined the problem and they have defined that training is the solution. So they're now coming to us saying, bring me the solution. and it should be in 2 days or in 1 day, and it should be 3 hours, and you know, there should be this and that in there. So they're actually ordering the training with us. And I think we as a community have the responsibility of realizing for ourselves, it's not about that. It's about you wanted to produce a result. And by the time the person speaks to us to order it, they've forgotten that result. And what we need to do is, great, I can do the 2 days, I can do the 1 day, I can do that in there, I can do all of that. That's going to be okay. Tell me, when we've done it and everybody's gone through, what do you hope to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't have the answer. So we need to work with them and help them to find that. And once we find that ultimate goal, like customer loyalty should go up with 5%, or because from previous championships, they found how many people that you hire actually move to the country itself. We want that to be lower. We don't want to lose less people than before, or we want to make more of a profit. We want to. So they have a goal there, and usually management knows, but HR doesn't. But once we find that goal, and then we say, okay, that's what you want to accomplish. Now, I've seen you want to do it in a 2-day session with this and this and this. maybe we can do it in a 3-hour session if we engage the learners more. Would you be willing to consider that? And that's where you can actually put on our professional hat, because we know about learning and we know about producing results, and then ask them, would it be okay to add some gamification elements to make the people also feel that we love them, we want to have them have a good time while they are learning. And I think if we become as a community even better in having that conversation about what's the ultimate goal and how can I make the journey that the learners are going to go through as fun and engaging as possible, then it's easier to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a theme that we end up so often coming back to here on Idiotic, that idea that we're often handed something which is already envisioned as a particular solution. We need a training course or whatever. And we always need to be in that mode. And maybe gamification isn't always the tool for, you know, for everything. Maybe sometimes it is still, you know what, why don't we just put a PDF job aid together? Because that's really what people, you know, actually need. There's just such a range of tools, but we get often told, this is the thing. Oh, by the way, we've already put the PowerPoint together. Here's all the, whether you know, we're thinking of a tool like gamification or other things, whether that's, you know, just more traditional e-learning, et cetera, it's always incumbent upon us as instructional designers when we're given something to help understand what's the problem, as opposed to simply making the solution that we're asked to. Not always an easy conversation to have when you're you know, lots of power dynamics and other things involved, etc. So yeah. Amanda has a question in the question panel. Are you finding that as learner engagement increases, total time spent, quote, training decreases? Is there a relationship between engagement and the amount of time needed for people to learn something?
Yes, I do find that. What we work with, I think, as many of you all do, is that we work with like 100 questions and they grab 5 out of them, right? Once they are very engaged, usually they are quicker with having the first 5 questions finished, so they don't need to revisit, etc. And because gamification adds more meaning, and we all know that repetition and meaning are the, you know, the brain stimulus to make sure that people remember. So there's gamification adds meaning. It's more exciting. Am I on the leaderboard? There's like the engagement for the learning itself, but there's also engagement for the game. So there's like extra engagement. And once that goes up, usually they take lesser time because they have more fun. So yes.
And I would think too, it's the if the outcome is, to get people prepped and excited to go there, and they're learning things that they're really going to need to know, and you know, tying that that need and that desire, because you sometimes when you get hired into a role like that, you know you're going to be shoved through some training, but you also have questions in your own mind, like how do I deal with the culture? How do I deal with how am I personally in my situation going to deal with XYZ? And for them to have those kinds of things answered in a fun game style ahead of time, and making that connection of what they're going to be doing at the game and getting them ready for that, I think is another critical part of that, which decreases the learning, because you're right, they're engaged, they're focused, they have questions in their mind that they're getting answered, but then the people who have ordered the training also had goals, and you're matching them all up in this gamified learning, which is fantastic across the board. Peter is also asking about the culture of Qatar, and it kind of blended into, I was thinking, my next question was going to be around how do you localize it, right? Or how do you make sure that, you know, does everybody, do you do it in one language and just expect that everybody can do it? Or does the training that you're creating have to be in, you know, 40 different languages or whatever?
Good questions. So they've decided in Qatar that everybody needs to be speaking English with the guests. That's going to be their common language. So they also want to use English to make sure that if people really don't, you know, if they really drop off the leaderboard, then we would probably know that there's something also around English going on. So that's why it's going to be all English. And I also read Peter's question around culture, because the culture could be shocking to some countries. And for some countries, it's going to be very similar. So we had to find a way to navigate that and also be very respectful, of course, for the Qatari people, because to say there's a culture shock is already using big words. So we've had to find ways around that and really negotiate it with the team from all parts of the world to find how do we say this in a respectful way, but also really prepare people for it's going to be different. And also to deal with some of the stigma and the myths we have in our heads around what's it like in Qatar. And so I did some checking in my surroundings also to say, okay, Qatar, women don't drive cars. There was like a top 10 list of things that people thought that when you check them, they're not actually true. So we also try to incorporate many of those myths in there. And we have an actual part of the game called myth busting, where they're trying to find what is myth and what isn't, and also gain some points for that. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. A thought that I that's occurring to me is someone who's going to relocate, even for a temporary period, there's a lot of emotions involved in that. There's worry, perhaps even fear of an unknown, those sorts of things. And it sort of feels maybe like the idea of putting this into something that's got a bit more of a game feel, in some ways kind of compensates or helps counter or puts a frame around some of that emotional aspect of this learning journey too, that you're being maybe put into a safe place where there are unknowns and there are challenges and those sorts of things, but you're in a safe place because there's maybe a tone to the things that you're doing, a sense of, let's call it a funness or whatever, that that perhaps maybe also has an impact on the overall process of helping maybe potentially anyway reduce or speak to reducing that sense of potential worry or fear or etc.
Yeah, I don't know. Beautiful. Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
I think that really works. I do think that from the research that we did is that most people who will be relocating are Generation Z people who love to travel, who love adventures, who are all doing the Great Resignation right now. Watch me quit my job on TikTok is one of the fastest growing hashtags and trends on TikTok at the moment. So we do know that many of them have less anxiety than, for example, me as a very young person, but still a little bit older than Generation Z would have. But I do think that gamification can help, because that's what I like also about gamification is you do experience emotions during the play. So you hate that you lose, or you're worried, or so it's more like real life than sometimes some of the e-learnings can be when you're designing e-learnings, because you just go through the project, you click on the next one, and it's almost fighting predictability. And I think predictability is very much an enemy of learning. Because once we know, oh, here goes, 500 words, got to read them, then probably 3 questions, click, click, click. And the amount of times that I've walked into companies where I saw somebody sitting behind a computer just going like that, what are you doing? I'm doing the course for everybody.
The training. Yeah.
I know. The number of times we've had projects where clients say, so when the audio for the first slide ends, can we automatically forward them to the second slide so they don't have to interrupt their work while they do the course? Or but what you're describing there, the fact that a game evokes a certain amount of emotion, there's some stress because you gotta achieve, or there's some unknowns, those sorts of things, I guess that's kind of part of what I was mulling in my mind, is that it does set up a framework. You are already introducing an affective aspect of the learning process rather than simply information dumping too.
Yeah, and also if I could show one of the models that I love to use, because you always have to explain to people. Let me just show that model to you over here. I'll go over here. So let me first explain it and then explain how I use it. So what we've done here is we've put the eagerness to learn, to change on this axis. And on this one, we've got the level of comfort that people experience when they are going everywhere. And what we know is that the comfort zone is very important for people. We want our health to be in the comfort zone. We want the children to be in the comfort zone. We want our work to be in the comfort zone. But when we're learning, the comfort zone is our enemy, right? Because if we go, oh, I already know, then there's not a whole lot happening. So what we actually try to do when we create gamification is we try to be able to master pulling a little string on the comfort zone and pulling it towards us. And whenever the comfort zone goes a little bit down, then our eagerness to learn goes up. So once you start working with gamification, you know that unexpected things can happen. This means you will be less in your comfort zone. And we could, for example, say that we note when we notice in an e-learning that everybody's passing with flying colors, we could just say, ooh, great, this was just the beginning. Keep ready for next week and try to hold on to your points now. So we pull a little bit on that comfort zone, which creates the eagerness to learn go up. So that's one of the models that we always try to use a lot when we create gamification, to be able to touch that comfort zone. Because frankly, I don't know any better way to get people out of their comfort zone in an online environment than pulling on that rope a little bit. And it's very easy to do that once you've created some gamification.
Yeah, it's. I think game designers, non-learning game designers, if there really is such a thing, but that's a whole nother show. They often talk about that balance between hard fun, right? If a game is too hard, people will quit. If a game is too easy, people will quit. But so you got to find that balance point where it's just hard enough to keep them coming back and encouraging them to try again. You know, you're going to be upset when you fail, but you feel like you could come back and this time you're going to be able to do it. And finding that balance is not easy. That's a very difficult thing to do just from a design perspective. And how do you work that in? And I love that graphic, and I love how you explained it too, because that puts it into the same concept into easier words, I think, for those of us that don't create, you know, like massively multiplayer games, right? We're trying to teach people information in a fun way. And you're right, yeah, pulling them a little bit out of their comfort zone at a time when they're thinking, I'm just in training, is gamification, yes, whether we call it that or not. And that's how we can kind of squeeze that stuff in. So yeah, it's very, very cool. Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. And while you're saying that, I also reminded myself that what we're trying to do, of course, is we all, as education professionals or learning professionals, we all know that people can have a fixed mindset of that's not never going to be me, or they can have a growth mindset. And one of the things that you can do wonderfully when you add a little bit of gamification to it, you can enforce that growth mindset. You can say, you did better than last time. You probably paid more attention. Or you can give them compliments in ways that start to enforce the Carol Dweck way of giving great compliments, that has people become more and more convinced that they might have a growth mindset on this. So that's also one of the things that I love about gamification, when you give that feedback in that way.
Yeah, that's a great, great follow-up to that too, because it is those little things that we can add in our training in a day-to-day basis, even if for some reason you're forced to do a click next sort of training program. There are those little things, the feedback, how you write your feedback, how you do all of the other elements, really, really can kick it up a notch. Yeah.
Absolutely. Very good. Good point. Yes.
Yeah, I hope everybody in the chat is taking diligent notes, or just remember the link here and come back. Lots of gold being dropped today, everybody.
So. Nita is asking in the chat, is there a difference or benefit, so pros and cons, maybe we could even think about it that way, to having the gaming via keyboard input remotely versus doing in-person training with physical movement, things like pushing, a buzzer or lining up in that kind of thing. Now, your group, the learning audience for yours are currently spread around the world. So the only thing you can really do is provide an e-learning, a technology-based approach to that. But are there pros and cons to doing these kinds of things, in person versus, remotely?
Well, in person will always win. Any day of the week and twice on Sunday. No, absolutely. But both take great preparation. And I see that sometimes people don't dare to go in with the weird buzzer, or don't. I love to, when I'm doing a sales training, I love to gamify it by hammering a, a dollar bill, but then $50 or $100, except that we're in euros, onto the wall saying the first one who gets this can actually grab it and take it. So I love to do those sort of things. But what it requires always is talking a lot to management. What do we want to accomplish? Do you align with me that I will use great fun techniques for them to learn so that they don't experience learning, but almost that learning becomes like a Trojan horse. They feel that like they've had a great day, they've been in games, they've been trying things, they've been practicing. And then at the end of the day go, oh, is it already 4 o'clock? I've never had this in a training. And then you unpack what's actually been happening to their brain so that they haven't experienced that old thinking about learning, the boring learning that they are used to. So I think the conversations that we need to have about it with management are like crucial, because if you don't explain the pulling of the comfort zone, then they will not be engaged into it. And they say they're probably going to think it's weird.
Yeah. Well, or if they're watching the training, they might see something that you're doing and think, where in the heck is this training going? You know, why are we going down this road? And if they're not ready for it. So, yeah, sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to jump in and cut you off there.
Well, I was just going to say, like, heaven forbid the management team is walking down the hallway and they hear a lot of laughter coming out of a room and they didn't expect that.
Yeah.
What's going on? Crack down on that.
I thought there was training going on in there.
Copy all on that email memo. What's going on? You're not anyway.
Yeah. So you do need to prepare them. You need to tell them why. And frankly, whenever I'm with the management team talking about this or with HR talking about this, I always bring these little models that I can draw on a napkin or something. And I explain to them, this is how we look at learning. This is the Ebbinghaus forgetting curve. If we don't add meaning, if we don't add repetition, people will forget this amount. So that's why we're doing it. And I usually try to put all those models in the front of the presentation if I'm going to do a presentation, and then come with, hence, since we've seen this, that means that we're going to do it this way. That means we're not going to do one-day trainings. We're going to do 2 hours in the morning because we want to repeat more because of Ebbinghaus. That means that we're not going to tell them yet about this part of the training because we need to be able to pull on that comfort zone. That means that because we want to measure on level 4 of Kirkpatrick, that means that we're going to do this so that they know first the learning principle, the educational or brain principle behind it, and then explain them why we're doing that. And once you do it like that, then it doesn't become something strange and weird, but something that actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what we should all be doing, I think, helping everything make sense in a fun and engaging way. Is there any place, have you written a book by any chance with any of these tips and tricks or anything you can share?
I have us? Actually, yes. I've written 4, but only one is called No More Boring Learning, and it's almost coming out in English. So I will remind the people when that does happen. Oh, cool. In the LinkedIn group to do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mary is asking in the question panel and in the chat about, the technology, behind something like what you've been building. So just tell us a little bit about that. Was this the project with the, for the football tourney, is that something that was, being custom coded, or was that involving, some available common tools, or without getting, too deep in the weeds on that, but how was that approached?
So I have a very powerful technical team. Usually I first, listen a lot, research a lot, and then I know how I want to do it. And then usually the technical people tell me you can't. And then of course the negotiations start, because then it's about because I'm an external person, so the client has to be willing to pay for it. So usually I really hit the ball out of the park in craziness of what we want to do, and then it's going to be reduced down from that. So that's, and there's many tools, of course. Domino is the best in the world.
I wish my big thumb came up.
Let me throw the big thumb in. That's a small thumb. They actually work some of those in by hand, and some of them are impossible. Okay. But it's always coming from a perspective of, what do I want my learner to experience while he or she is learning is a more important thing than what do I want them to learn? because it's not about what do I want them to learn, it's about what do, results do we want to produce by them learning. Yes. I also saw some questions about how I moved in the app. That's actually called there it's very, do you want me to give them a little tour of how that works or?
Sure, absolutely.
I think there's been a few questions about what you've been doing. So
let me show you. So I'm actually now in front of a green screen and I'm in an app called Mm-hmm. And it's actually written right here. They wanted to have a name that you can pronounce with your mouth full. So that's why it's called Mm-hmm. It makes a very weird sound. And there's all kinds of effects that you can do to engage your learner. For example, I can make it rain. But also when I'm going back into this one, I can be right here. I can turn red because of frustration. There's lots of little things that you can do. For example, this is my transformation model. And I can actually move myself around in that and say, all right, so first, before we can do any gamification or learning, we need to have a burning platform of why it's necessary to change. If we don't have a burning platform, we're not going to go into learning. Then once we know why we should do it, we should attack our habits. What are the habits that we are having that are very much not helping us with tackling the burning platform? So you can actually move around through your slides, profile yourself here, point at certain things, and that makes it much more engaging than when you are online saying the sentence, which I hate the most when you're online, let me share my screen. Because then everybody is immediately lost. You don't see anybody anymore. You see people going to the bathroom because once the screen sharing is on, nothing fun is happening anymore. So there's also, you can use your hands. So you can say, if somebody says something awesome, you can actually go, that's awesome. You can give a big heart. You can say, all right, you need to call me later. So there's some fun things that you can do with that. And it actually engages your learning a lot more. So if you're, for example, showing 5 points of the transfer, you can actually say, well, that's actually number four. And be, you know, engage with your slides while you're there.
It's like, it's almost, it's like dynamic slides and activity. And it makes me, it reminds me of one of the brain rules by John Medina saying that, you know, anything different or out of the ordinary that attracts you, like changes in something happening, is what's going to grab your attention, which is why you have to keep it either keep your slides moving, or in this case, being able to move yourself around on the screen, I think is just enough to help somebody go, oh, something's happening, and re-pull them back, even if they get, you know, because we can all get distracted in like 3 seconds, right?
Yes.
As it
I
goes
predict
on.
That this is the future. I predict it is the future. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's my favorite one, right? And so I think what it's gonna, I think a tool like this is cool, but it's gonna force all of our instructors to pre-plan their presentations a little bit more and practice.
It makes it a lot easier because in this tool you can actually see all of your slides and you can just skip a couple and go to the next one without going through them once you're sharing your screen. So you do have to practice a lot for it. But it also facilitates it a lot better for storytelling, et cetera. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, super, cool. Super, super fun. And I figure we better, we're at that 45-minute mark, and I wish we could sit here and chat with you, Gene, for another 45 minutes or more. It's been so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and I love to be a friend of the show.
Excellent, yeah, and you are absolutely. It's
very cool. It's take a minute and drop any contact info, etc., that you want to, Gene, there into the chat, so where people can connect with you and find you, and keep an eye on them when that book's finally going to come out in English.
Yes, she's wrong. I will.
Whoa,
wrong button. Sorry, didn't mean to hit that one just yet.
Brent's giving a little bump on the volume button there. Folks, as well, don't forget, we have the LinkedIn group that you can join us in. Brent, do you have a handle on that one?
I do.
Popping that in. There we go. I will also throw in, I mean, as been mentioned a couple of times, Domino is the big sponsor. Brent and I are both Domino team members. So I'm throwing in a little link in there. If anybody's interested in learning more about Domino, you can, Domino One, you can find us there at the link tossed into the chat there.
I endorse this message.
Here we go. Big thumbs up. That's the Hulk thumbs. Hulk smash. Anyway, cool. As always, Gene, thanks so much for joining us. Lots of fun, and you know you'll be back sometime soon.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that that happens.
Yes, thanks so much.
I'm actually going to watch that match, and then afterwards we'll have you back, and you can maybe give us some information on how it all went, maybe share some results and stuff.
Yes.
Cool. All right, here we go.
Absolutely. Let's...
Very cool. Thanks, everybody.
Adios, everyone.